Welcome to More Outdoors on News Talk 560 KLVI. This is Chester Moore. A few months back, I came across a really interesting program. I was up in Bozeman, Montana, visiting with my friend Gray Thornton, and he told me about an awesome project the Wild Sheep Foundation was doing called Women Hunt. There have been lots of different women outdoors programs and things over the years, but something about this one really struck me. So I connected with Renee Thornton, who is the chair of the Wild Sheep Foundation's Women Hunt program, and somehow I ended up going to the FTW Ranch out near Barksdale, Texas, and getting to see a couple of days of an amazing event they did. But on the phone with us to tell us about the organization, the outreach, and exactly what happened at this special event afterwards is Renee Thornton from the Wild Sheep Foundation's Women Hunt. Welcome to More Outdoors.
Thank you, Chester. Great to be here.
Yeah, a lot has happened since we spoke last, right?
You've got that right. It's just been a tremendous few months.
Yeah, so just to give people out there an idea what exactly Women Hunt is, can you give us the rundown?
Absolutely. So the Women Hunt program was created to really ultimately help women cross barriers on their journey into the fields and the mountains. So we're really focused on finding ways to introduce more women to hunting and conservation, to ease that pathway for them, bring on some great different events, courses. You know, we partner with lots of organizations to get different training, education, and opportunities available for women.
Yeah, and the event that we talked about last time was out at the FTW Ranch, where 12 women from around the nation went through a process of, application and got to come hunt their first big game hunt out there at the FTW Ranch. And I had the honor and privilege of getting to spend a couple of days with you there. And let's talk about what happened at that event. I mean, just the couple of days that I was there was pretty astounding.
Yeah, and thank you, Chester, for for coming out and meeting the 12 women that we selected, our committee selected to bring on this incredible opportunity. It was great to have you there, and I'm glad you got to see firsthand what quality women they are, and what a great course the FTW Ranch created in the New Hunter course, and what it achieves in 4.5 short days. These women applied through the Wild Sheep Foundation's Women Hunt program, and they were selected, and there were cross-representation, a couple of women from Canada and 10 from the United States. Mm-hmm. And we hosted them down at the ranch, where they learned from very basic to more advanced skills in 4.5 days. And the course, the New Hunter course, is really kind of a soup to nuts, beginning to end, hopefully the culmination of harvesting a white-tailed doe, but at the very least, they're out actively hunting. And so upon arrival at the ranch, all 12 women were greeted by the awesome staff and instructors there. They went right into, following lunch, right into some coursework, and then out on a ranch orientation, where they were driven around the ranch in the Jeeps and shown lots of really basic things, basic maybe to more experienced hunters, but for new hunters, really important things like game identification, early game identification, just even the terrain they would be hunting in for the following 4 days, understanding the things they were seeing around them, like blinds and feeders and things like that. So that was awesome. And then Saturday morning on the first official day, there was, from that point on, it was classroom learning, applied learning, and field time. And they learned everything from how to learning the components of a gun, of a scope, how to handle their weapons, clean them. They were taught to shoot out to 100 yards accurately, and then taken out to active ranges across this 12,000-acre ranch to then, walk out to 200 yards, 300 yards, 400 yards. Some of them who cottoned on a little more quickly and were confident got out even further than that. But what the real key point here was to get all of these women proficient and accurate to 300 yards, and they achieved that. In addition to that, they also learned game identification, game trailing, spot and stalk, different hunting methods, sorry, Chester, I'm going to sneeze.
It's okay. It's radio. It's okay.
And game identification, game trailing. They went out to learn different methods of hunting. They also learned, we had classroom training on ethics of hunting, manners and etiquette in hunting, some overview of general game rules that are consistent between jurisdictions. We had a chance to talk about the North American model of wildlife conservation, which, you know, ended up being, was supposed to be an hour-long session. We had a video that the CEO of the National Wild Turkey Federation, Becky Humphreys, recorded her delivery of the model for us. We watched that, and then we had a conversation, and this was such an interesting topic for these women to talk about the role that hunting plays, the critical role it plays in wildlife conservation, that we blew that hour out of the water, and we were talking on that alone for over 2 hours. So, you know, some really valuable discussions. Back out in the field, they all went out on four separate hunts. You know, the theory here was that if you were successful, you know, you would share your harvest with all 12 women. We had five of the 12 women were successful, which, you know, was great. Everybody celebrated everybody else's successes. Everybody learned whether they were successful or not. They learned some of those important lessons about sometimes we feel those feelings of disappointment when we're not successful. But they all went home with game meat. And it was just extraordinary. You know, Chester, you were there. You saw it in real time. These women were absolutely thrilled to be there, honored to have been selected, just so engaged, so enthusiastic, so passionate, so happy. And every one of them, all 12 of them, told me individually, you likely heard it, I know others did, about how life-changing this was for them. And, you know, I'm thrilled that we impacted lives like this.
Yeah, it was really cool getting to go out with a group of ladies that had really varied experience in the field. Some of them maybe had a husband that hunted a lot, and some of them were single women that had never hunted, and others had kind of got into it a little bit. And for them to come out in a place like this, it's really beautiful, but wild habitat, and go through this really intensive, and that's the thing I want to underline here, intensive. This, like when I went and learned how to shoot a gun for deer, my dad said, don't put the scope too close to your eye, put the crosshair behind the shoulders, don't pull, squeeze the trigger. That was pretty much my shooting coaching. Okay? All right. And it worked. And I'm looking at these guys teaching these ladies. I'm like, oh, wow. Did I learn wrong? You know, but that alone was just, don't you think that's a major first step, getting started to where they can eliminate mistakes probably most people make right from the beginning?
Absolutely. And great points. You know, I maintain, I think everybody, you know, does that your comfort and familiarity and proficiency with your weapon, your firearm is critically important on your hunting journey, right? And you're right. These instructors, as you know, all retired special forces, they're the best of the best, and they're fantastic instructors. And they can take somebody who's never even handled a gun before and get them proficient in a matter of a couple of days. It's really extraordinary. Their program is very effective. And I agree with you. And, you know, it's it just shaved years for every one of these women off of their learning curve with their firearm. And they're all going to be such better hunters for it.
Yeah, and if you want more information on the FTW Ranch and their SAM shooting program, you can go to FTWSAAM.com. That's FTWSAAM.com. You know, being from Texas, I had heard of the program, and then went to the website and looked at it. But seeing it in person, just the minutia detail of each woman's kind of, it wasn't like an everybody's same exact experience. There was a custom experience for the level of help you needed. And it was so cool watching these ladies be able to tap into that. And then, like, on the first day, shoot, you know, all of them are shooting out to 100 yards, which is in many areas, you know, like where I live in East Texas, that's going to be most of your shots. And then being able to shoot out much, much further than that was a really great thing. So when we come back on More Outdoors, we're going to talk more about the Women Hunt Program with Renee Thornton from the Wild Sheep Foundation. It's their program. They did an incredible event here in Texas. We're going to recap and talk about what's happening to Women Hunt in the very near future. Welcome back to More Outdoors on News Talk 560KLVI.com. This is Chester Moore. Don't forget, you can listen to the podcast of the show. Go to KLVI.com, click on the podcast link at the top of the page. You can back several years in archives. You can check out my writings all over the place, of course, in Texas Fish and Game. You can go to HigherCalling.net for my blog. Lots of ways to connect out there at TheChesterMoore on Instagram. We have Renee Thornton with the Wild Sheep Foundation's Women Hunt Program. We're talking about the event they had for 12 ladies who went through a really special process to have an opportunity to come here to Texas. And we talked about this, the shooting aspect that they learned, like Navy SEALs and stuff were teaching them. It was really cool to watch. And I picked up some stuff I needed to bring home and teach myself during the couple of days I had there. But did you notice any of the ladies that had any kind of like apprehension about the hunting part after they kind of went shooting? I mean, was there anyone there kind of felt, I still don't feel quite so comfortable pulling a trigger?
You know, great question. You know, with the group of 12, we split them up into two groups of six with the instructors. They went to different areas of the ranch. And so most of my exposure was with one group. But I think generally speaking, most were very comfortable before they went out on their first hunt. Mm-hmm. I think they had nerves. They had jitters, sure. For sure, like any of us do. There were a couple of women who... you know, they were listening to the instructors. They were doing everything they needed to do. Just as we all know, sometimes when you're new on a weapon, you don't always immediately get, you know, comfortable when you're trying to get your eye relief, let's say, on the stalk or different things like that. We certainly had instances like that with a couple of the ladies with their guns. You know, the instructors kept working with them in a very dedicated and one-on-one way to do whatever they could to get them comfortable on their guns before they went out hunting. I think largely they were absolutely successful, but for sure there were some of the women more than others who had some of those jitters and apprehensions going up. I think it's pretty natural.
Yeah, the reason I ask that is if, you know, someone's out there listening, thinking, going through something like this, you don't have to be like so gung-ho that, you know, you think you're going to go out there and immediately kill something. This is a learning process to get people ready to do the right thing, you know. And that's a big important, this is, you know, some kind of a macho thing where, you know, we're measuring your hunt success by the antlers you kill necessarily. This is about learning to get in this process and be able to do it sustainably the right way. And sometimes that does, I mean, who hasn't had buck fever? I mean, I had buck fever about 3 weeks ago, and I shot the second biggest buck of my life here in East Texas. And I was shot him to end up shooting him like 15 yards, which was hilarious. It's hilarious. It's an hilarious story. But he started off at about 100 yards, and I couldn't get a shot, and popped up right by me, and I freaked out. My heart's pounding through my throat, you know. And I've been doing this forever. So, but, you know, the thing is, Renee, if there's a certain level of that excitement that these ladies may have had on this first event, that I hope they never lose their whole life.
Oh, I agree. You know, I mean, that kind of excitement and thrill and the joy of hunting, I hope they never lose it either. And you know, you make some great points, and it's true. They, you know, there were a lot of lessons that they learned over the course of the 4.5 days, and this course is designed to take brand new people to shooting and hunting, and it's you know, get them through the process of learning the different steps to being successful and confident. And it is a learning process, as we all know. Every hunt you go on, you learn something, and they certainly did during this experience. And you're quite correct that this isn't an occasion for machoism or bravado or whatever. You know, it's a humbling experience, and they learned that through the process of going out, you know, on four separate hunts, 12 women, 5 successful hunts. That tells you right there the realities of hunting and the things you can face.
Yeah, I mean, just this turkey season, I had 8 gobblers gobbling at me at one time and this morning, and not one of them popped their head out of the bushes. And I thought, oh, it's going to be easy. Oh, we got it. And then I feel something behind me as this is going on. I'm going, oh, my God, a gobbler come up behind me. How am I going to get positioned? And a hen was like 3 feet away from my ground blind, a little makeshift ground blind. It's the only turkey I saw. And so hunting can be that humbling experience. And yeah. What was so interesting is I talked to these different, I didn't get a chance to talk to all of them at length, but I talked to every one of them. And some of them had, I mean, it was universal almost that these women wanted to be able to provide healthy meat for them and their families. And that this was a big part of this experience. So it wasn't just going out to hunt for the enjoyment of it, which is fine. But they were literally wanting to enhance their lives by this experience.
You're right. And, you know, that is 100% a consistent theme with all 12 of them. And, you know, they, you know, the great thing about this program, Chester, is that it doesn't just, the Wild Sheep Foundation doesn't just provide this opportunity for a woman to learn how to shoot and hunt, but also we also build in, you know, aspects around giving back and mentorship. And the two really key components coming out of the course. And for these women, you know, being able to provide for their families, for themselves and their families and friends, so critically important. And, you know, I'm excited to talk to you more about the giving back pieces and the mentorship too. But, you know, they're very, very focused on that aspect of hunting. And I love that. You know, I think it's great.
Well, in the health thing, I have ran into a couple of ladies in the last, I'd say, 4 years that had health issues and did some research and decided they wanted to start collecting white-tailed deer venison to eat because of health issues and dealing with inflammation in their bodies. And you actually had someone come in and teach ladies how to prepare the meat.
That's right. Yeah. We had Chef Josh Schwenke with Gastronomy Events in San Antonio. He comes in for a couple of days during this course. Teaches the participants how to, you know, prepare wild game, talks to them, you know, the culinary experience with him. He teaches you culinary aspects, but also talks to you about, you know, the value of wild game and the nutrition and the benefits of it. And, you know, he does a great job teaching them how to make sausage and lots of other things, you know. But I know that they loved working with him. They really, I mean, they loved the whole course, but they just loved the culinary part of it. They learned so much.
Well, what excites me about this is an easy way to get turned off to hunting, if you come in it from a perspective of wanting food, is if you don't know how to prepare it or are told to do it the wrong way and it doesn't taste like what you expect. So being able to have someone to give you the proper way to cook a meat, for example, doesn't have nearly as much fat as beef, so you have to cook it differently. I think that's a valuable thing.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, I mean, even before that in the courses, you know, the instructors are expert at field dressing and butchering. And, you know, the women, they had their hands on in the skinning shed, breaking down the animals and learning that. And that, you know, Chef Josh was in the skinning shed often while that was going on to talk about also how to cut the meat properly when you're butchering, you know, so that you have the best cuts possible for your preparation of your meal. So it's all tied together for sure.
Yeah, and it's great to do that because there's a lot that goes into it. I mean, you think about someone, if they had to kill animal to survive, what percentage of our population figure out how to access the meat? I mean,
I don't even know.
There's a deer. Well, what do we do with it? I mean, how do you
now what?
What do you do? I mean, do you cook the skin? I mean, what do we do? You know, so I think that's a really cool part of this, and intertwined together. But and what's really neat out of this is I've connected with numerous of the women on my Instagram and stuff like that, and I've been watching their feeds. And a big part of what I saw in some of the feeds was that part of it. I wrote an article a couple years ago called Trophy Cooking, how I think that we ought to be sharing pictures of our meals of wild game as much as the dead animals.
Right.
And that's what I was seeing on display. And the celebration of that with their friends and stuff like that was really cool. And I think it gives a better, if it's someone like me who's sort of foaming at the mouth about his passion for hunting in the outdoors, you know, that could reach a certain level of people. But these very articulate ladies of all kinds of different backgrounds, being able to just say, hey, you know, this is something that's important for me, my family, my health, my enjoyment. It's a right that I want to pursue here. And I think that is, I think you guys are really on to something. Before we got to go to break real quick, if someone wants to get more information on this program, where do they go?
Okay, so one good place to start is the Wild Sheep Foundation Women Hunt website. It's still under development, but there's some information there. We're going to keep adding to it. So that's wildsheepfoundation.org/womenhunt. And then also we have a social media presence, as you mentioned. On Facebook, you can find us at, the handle is at Women Hunt Program. And on Instagram, it is at women_hunt. And so we invite everybody to follow along with us there and watch these women's journeys.
All right. We'll talk more about this when we come back on More Outdoors. Welcome back to More Outdoors on News Talk 560 KLVI. I got what's becoming one of my favorite guests, Renee Thornton, with the Wild Sheep Foundation's Women Hunt Program, talking about the great event they had in the first part of October at the FTW Ranch out near Barksdale. And what's really cool is one of my good friends actually owns a ranch that has fence line against the FTW Ranch. I didn't realize that. I was at his place. He goes, "That's the FTW back there." And so I've been in that part of the world a lot, just never, you know, got to go on that beautiful, huge ranch. I mean, 12,000 acres. And before we get back into this, you talk about the culture of women coming from Canada, California, all over the place, right?
Yeah.
Brought a friend of mine from New York turkey hunting with me about 18 years ago. And we go into a ranch not too far from that direction, and we drive through a gate. Well, 5 minutes later, we're still driving to get to the camp house. He goes, "Geez, how big is this place?" And he's like, "It's about 5,000 acres. And he just like completely freaked out of a ranch, like one person's property that big, because they're used to hunting someone's farm that's 100 acres over there, you know? And so
right.
You talked about these ladies coming in and seeing like game management. When you go to the FTW ranch to lodge, their breeding program with their Uriel rams and European mouflons and Armenian mouflons and Nubian ibex are all kind of behind the lodge there. And so these women also got to kind of see up close and personal what game management's like on private land.
Yeah, they sure did. And, you know, it's really great. And such an important thing to keep in mind is that, you know, how people hunt in different parts of the United States and Canada is different. And what is familiar to those of us outside of Texas and states that have similar approaches, you know, it looks and feels different, and it's all great ways. It's just different ways. And so, I mean, to be able to go to such an exceptionally well-run ranch with such a high caliber of breeding program and be able to have an explanation of how that works and what they do with that and being able to even observe the wildlife in that area behind the lodge that you mentioned, and then, of course, just roaming freely on the 12,000 acres is an opportunity they're not likely to have again, you know, and so really beneficial part of the just being at the ranch for this course through osmosis was learning and seeing these other aspects.
Yeah, it was crazy. I even had to hide on top of one of the tractors back there because they were even wary in, like, the breeding enclosures. So I had to, like, climb up like a my camera and wait for them like I'm hunting to get pictures of the dang ibex and urials. So that was hilarious. I'm like, so much for easy hunting, I can't even get a picture of a three-acre pen.
Yeah. So true,
Like, oh, my Lord. But it was really cool because I get to see a lot of this kind of stuff in Texas, but a lot of these people have never seen that kind of stuff. So it was such a cool thing. But you mentioned a very important part. I know especially it's your heart for this, is the giving back part of this. So what does it mean that you guys are training these women to give back? How does that work in the real world?
Well, you know, it can work in many different ways. So part of the application process was that a woman understood if she was selected following the course, she would be matched with a hunting mentor for at least a year-long period, you know, to help her on her journey. But then the other thing was that she was expected to give back somehow within her community. And so we are in the process of working with each individual woman to figure out what it is that they want to do and how what fits with them. You know, they're all very different. Unique individuals with different skill sets and strengths and interests. So we're working on that right now with them. And but it can be anything. You know, we have more than one of these women who are so keen to help other women and also youth in their home states and provinces. And so, you know, we're working with them to help support them in that aspect of giving back. We have others who want to focus more on conservation. It can look and feel like a lot of different ways, but ultimately what we wanted was, you know, they were benefiting from a really extraordinary opportunity and a pretty high dollar value one as well. I kind of looked at it almost like a grant, you know? And so, the giving back was a critically important part, a three-pronged part, in my opinion, of this program, and the third prong being the giving back. And these 12 women, as I mentioned, were so enthusiastic and passionate and grateful and humble through this entire process. And they are all so keen. They're jumping in. So happy to report that 9, possibly 10 of them, there's one question mark still, but 9 or 10 of them are going to be able to come to the Wild Sheep Foundation Sheep Show in January in Reno, and they're coming to volunteer to help support the Wild Sheep Foundation pulling off this massive annual event. And they're also going to be part of the Women Hunt seminar on Saturday. We every year at the Sheep Show on the Saturday, the last day, we have a Women Hunt seminar, and they're going to be doing a panel discussion there where they're going to, you know, talk about their journeys and share their feelings with the people in the audience and take questions. That's going to be on January 15th. And then following that, you know, we're going to have them present at different interactive stations throughout the seminar where anybody who walks in to the Women Hunt seminar can learn how to fit a backpack properly to their frame, or, you know, how to lace boots properly, or how to select different clothing for different conditions. There's going to be wildlife biologists with a couple of ram's heads who are going to demonstrate how to take good samples in the field for the use of wildlife biologists sampling. So it's going to be a really, really, really great seminar this year. And they're going to be there. 9 or 10 of them are going to be there. And, we're going to do some other great things throughout the throughout the Sheep Show with them. They just dove right in. They're just right there, ready to go, ready to give back, ready to show gratitude. And it's, you know, to me, as I mentioned, just critically important of this process.
Well, I'm already proof that these ladies are reaching out and giving back, because I've already had like thank you cards and like connected with me on social media from numerous of these women. They're part of this, but yeah. Bea Segura, who's from New Mexico, sent an article to me that's being published in the January-February issue of Texas Fish and Game. So, that article of hers is going to be published about her experience and what it meant to her. And that's going to be already published and be in the January, February Texas Fish and Game magazine. So,
awesome.
That's kind of cool. I in my inbox, hey, I met her on the hunt. And, oh, wow, she already wrote an article. And I messaged her and she said, yeah, feel free to run it. And I edited a little bit and it's in there. It's really cool. And, it was great. So you already got women that are literally sending like to publications and stuff. So that's wonderful.
You bet. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so thank you for building those relationships with these women and staying connected with them and giving them an opportunity to share their stories and have their voices heard. And, you know, in addition to you, Chester, like the Wild Sheep Foundation chapter and affiliates, the ones that are involved with these women in the mentorship aspects, are also, some of them are being approached to write articles for their publications or, you know, other things like that. So, you know, there's great support from so many, including yourself, in helping to spread the word and build these pieces of awareness. You know, the ultimate goal is we really want to build grow the number of women that are involved in hunting conservation. I am a firm believer that the more women we have who can calmly and articulate the role that hunters play, the critical, important role that hunters play in wildlife conservation, the better it is for all of us.
Yeah, no question. I've said from the beginning that sort of one of my interests in this is sort of selfish because I, you know, having a ministry and having almost all the volunteers, but one actually, are all women, and seeing that women are such good, and when women get into something, they're kind of all in. And to have women to be able to do this and articulate this, I think will be a major boon for wildlife conservation and also just the sport of hunting is going under so many attacks right now. And, and to be able to share this with women, you know, there's a big movement out there of people who are looking to take better care of their families from health perspective and concerned about what's going to happen in our economy. And, you know, looking out there to the wild is something people are doing a little bit more, especially since COVID, because, you know, record numbers of hunting, fishing license sales, record numbers of campers, hikers, you know, people kayaking. So connecting this to women in hunting, I think, is a really, really awesome thing. And I salute you guys on that. When we come back on More Outdoors, we're going to wrap up our conversation, find out a little bit more about the Sheep Show, the future of women hunt, and all things women hunting on More Outdoors. Welcome back to More Outdoors on News Talk 560 KLVI. This is Chester Moore here with my friend Renee Thornton from the Wild Sheep Foundation's Women Hunt Program. And if you missed the first part of the show, go back to klvi.com, click on the podcast link at the top of the page, and listen to the podcast to get the whole show. Whether you're a woman or not, it's a fascinating journey through an amazing program and really a cultural change in the hunting world that's happening right now. And I believe a lot of this is spearheaded by what they're doing, this great event. And Renee, you had mentioned that there's going to be a really important part of the upcoming Sheep Show that Women Hunt is going to be involved in. But there's probably a lot of people listening and go, what in the heck is a Sheep Show? Can you tell us?
Right. You bet. So the Wild Sheep Foundation, you know, its purpose is to put and keep wild sheep on our mountains. So they, you know, that's a major conservation organization, a not-for-profit, and they're, you know, they fundraise in order to put and keep wild sheep on the mountains. That's their purpose. And so one of the biggest ways they do that is by hosting an annual expo and convention every January in Reno, and they call it the Sheep Show. And it's also referred to as Sheep Week as the show grows. And so this year, the Sheep Show, it will feature, as it does every year, an exposition where there'll be exhibitors there that are hunting outfitters, guides, artists, taxidermy, firearms, optics, all your great things that you would find at a hunting and conservation trade show. And then, the convention aspect will have a whole litany of different seminars and speakers and then the banquets where there's live auctions and silent auctions and where, you know, there's absolutely incredible sums of money raised for wild sheep and wild sheep conservation through the auctioning of permits for wild sheep hunts across North America. And it's just a high energy, exciting show. It is a premier hunting and conservation show. The sheep hunting community is young and vibrant. You can expect if you're summiting mountains and multiple peaks a day on a sheep hunt, it by translation lends itself to a fairly youthful community. Although I say that there are some extremely successful, not so youthful sheep hunters, but if you get my drift, it's a really, really young crowd. And so it's vibrant and energetic, and there's awesome things like a backpack race and horse packing competitions and all sorts of really fun things that go on at the Sheep Show.
Yeah, I got to go in 2020, had an incredible time there, and it's different, you know, and that's what's cool about it, because it's a very mountain hunting centric. And I really like that part of it. And not only could you go talk to outfitters about sheep hunts and things like that, but also like mule deer and elk and moose and bear and all kind of stuff like that. And we watched the virtual version last year. That was, I tell you what, watching that auction alone is kind of like watching a UFC fight or something. I mean, that's some action going on there, you know. And like when I was there in the banquet hall and they were auctioning off one of these tags, it was in like the 300K range. I didn't even want to look up. I want to just look down. Don't even hint that I have that kind of cash, which I don't. But what's cool about that is all that money goes right back, and this funds a gigantic majority of sheep work across not only the United States, but Canada and Mexico. Also things going on in Asia. And so it's an incredible thing to see that the hunting community without hunters, without the Wild Sheep Foundation, its affiliates like the Texas Bighorn Society, Rocky Mountain Bighorn Society, and others, there would not be a sliver of what's left of wild sheep in North America. So it's a great event, a lot of fun. If you want to go to a hunting show that's different, it has that really mountain hunting feel. And, man, the Wild Sheep Show, the Sheep Show is awesome. And but looking a little further down the line, I mean, Renee, what do you foresee for Women Hunt? I mean, what's coming up? Anything new in 2022?
Yeah, so after the Sheep Show, where we're going to be premiering the film about that, by the way, we have filmmakers out at the ranch with these 12 women on the New Hunter course, and we're going to premiere the film, we're going to do some fundraising, we're going to have our seminar, our educational seminar. Following that, we're ramping up for the 2022 selection of the New Hunter course. And we'll have, Chester, I'll be happy to get back with you in the future when I have more information on that, on dates and stuff like that. But we're going to launch the new selection process. We're also in the process of developing our website, which this web platform is going to be filled with resources for women who are either trying to get into hunting, are just starting on their journey, even are more experienced. It's going to have all sorts of different features that are going to point women to resources right in their backyard, resources nationally, have a kind of an ask the expert corner, you know, different features. That's a big piece of work that we're going to work on in 2022. We're also going to continue to build larger relationships, broader relationships with government agencies, non-governmental agencies, private businesses, etc., all the great people out there that are already doing awesome things to support new hunters and conservation. And we're going to continue to build partnerships and offer different types of activities. You know, it's not always going to be just this course for 12 really lucky women. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to have other things as well that we're going to provide out there. And we're going to partner with the Wild Sheep Foundation's Chapters and Affiliates Network, of course. It's going to be a big part of it, help support their activities in their home states and provinces.
Yeah, and that's what's great. There's, like I said, Texas, we have the Texas Bighorn Society, which actually was the first conservation group I ever joined at 19 years old.
Cool.
Was the Texas Bighorn Society. I went to this event where I'd won an essay contest, and that's how I started my career. I won this essay contest on hunting, and I won a lifetime hunting license in Texas, a fishing license too. And I saw them.
Awesome.
I'm like, cool, there's a group just on Texas Bighorns. You know, that was like a mega revelation to me. So what was neat about this is, you know, as I spent some time talking to these different ladies at this event, is I asked them kind of, you know, how into the sheep part of this are you? I mean, what's your favorite wildlife? And some of them said, hey, I'd really like to get into deer and things like that. But it seemed that a lot of them, even if they necessarily didn't have sheep hunting aspirations, they really wanted to help sheep because of the what they've learned from the Wild Sheep Foundation. It's like, hey, these are some animals, some game animals in North America that maybe need a little bit more help than an elk does right now or a white-tailed deer. So that was really great because I know you guys gave them a membership. I was there when you gave them a membership to the Wild Sheep Foundation. But you mentioned affiliates. They can go back and join local chapters or affiliates and things like that. So there's lots of ways they can get connected and things like that. And I highly recommend if you want to help a hunting-based cause in conservation, sheep is the cause. Sheep and turkey are the two things I say. If we get that right, we'll get the rest of it right. So, you know, I know you guys had that affiliation with, you know, like Becky Humphreys and the National Wild Turkey Federation, who are also doing good things for hunter recruitment out there. So are there any kind of final words you'd like to say about Women Hunt or kind of the vision for what you want to see happening?
Yes. You know, I guess finally, I just say that, you know, I feel blessed every day that I was given this opportunity to lead the charge with this volunteer committee that I formed and you know, I have this ability to help change lives, influence things, and help support women. And that, to me, there's nothing more empowering than women helping women. And I count my blessings, and I look forward to continue working with my committee and with our broader community within the Wild Sheep Foundation, but also beyond. As you mentioned, it's not just about wild sheep. And I'm excited for the future and what it will bring for anybody who's interested in entering the hunting and conservation world or just expanding if they're already part of it. And so I would say to your listeners, we welcome you to visit our website, reach out to the Wild Sheep Foundation and the Women Hunt Program if you're interested and you want to get involved. We'd love to hear from you, and I, you know, just look forward to bringing more to the general public and our community in the future, and continuing to help women.
Well, I'll tell you what, after speaking with you numerous times, meeting you, and learning a little bit about your history, I have no doubt you're the right person for this. You've got the tenacity, you've got the vision, you got the heart. And look, I killed my first animal was a rabbit, and it was like me going on a Cape Buffalo safari. You started off with a black bear. So you can hang out there in this world. You can hang with the best of them. And I'm so happy you're out there leading this charge, and look forward to working with you where I can to get the word out on this in the future, Renee.
Thank you, Chester. I appreciate you, and I appreciate your support of the program and Wild Sheep Foundation.
God bless, and have a great outdoors weekend.